You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
All right. What's up? What's up? Welcome to the show. It's great of you to join us. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. That's right. And welcome to the show, guys. Oh, thank you. That
is so humbling.
So humbling. And welcome to the show, everybody. Also watching on Facebook with, let's see here, with Albert Infected, who's joining us live. Give it up for Albert Infected, everybody. Wow. Albert, what's going on, bud?
To play and break my leg gets the price paid to be in the show tonight. Oh, that's horrible, horrible news. I'm so pissed off right now, and I'm blaming everything on this Damian Priest guy. But hey, you know what? I'm doing fantastic tonight. I'm enjoying a nice RC Cola, refreshing taste of the old style sodas. RC Cola available at all local, I don't know, grocery stores. I don't know. You can get them anywhere, I think, at least in the South. But I'm doing fantastic, and I'm glad to be here.
Nice, nice. Well, welcome aboard, Albert Infected. Also joining us, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly. Oh. Swami, what's going on, bud?
Well, I know that Albert is bad, but what happened to the Miz? I'm doing good, by the way. But you know what? This could be a blessing in disguise for him, because you know what? He was tanking and floundering on Raw. So maybe a little time off will do him fucking great.
Hey, you're not kidding, man. He was really struggling there at the end of that storyline with the whole with the freaking zombies and shit. But we will get into that a little bit later, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. Peacemaker. Peacemaker, what's going on, bud? Peacemaker? Kanye West, you on mute? I can hear myself.
I'm here.
What the hell?
What the fuck? What the fuck is this?
God, I don't know what the fuck is going on here, but Peacemaker Kevier West, if you can come on in and join us here. There you go. Peacemaker Kevier West in the hill,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you
had me on mute. This is Kevier West. This fucking New Jack. This New Jack, man, I'm down here. Y'all want me to fuck anybody up for y'all? Anybody down here in the afterlife want me to fuck up real bad?
It's Fatal 4-Way Radio. What's Chris going on here? It's Fatal 4-Way Radio. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I just thought I'd pop in and tell you I'm all right. Now I'm ready to start fucking up. Sorry. I had a good Chris Benoit bit going where he was going to hunt him down. That was the best promo I've seen since New Jack's death, was whenever he's sitting on a couch with Honky Tonk Man and Iron Sheik, and they're talking about Chris Benoit. New Jack just starts talking about how he would have killed that son of a bitch with his bare hands. It's so funny.
You know, I got to go back and check out. The only things I've seen from New Jack have always been bad, because, you know, everybody's like, oh, man, you got to see it. That was some fucked up shit, man. That type of shit. So I got to go back and check out some of his funny stuff.
The shoot interviews are good. But, yeah, rest in peace, New Jack. And sucks Damian Priest fell on our boy The Miz like that.
We'll get into all that stuff, I'm sure.
It doesn't stop. Listen, it does not stop. This is the best thing that could have happened to him, all right?
It might be. I thought that too. I kind of agree. We'll get there.
Yeah, we
Wait,
sure
is the
will.
Best thing to happen to New Jack?
No, stop it. Guys, you know what's going on today is May 18th, everybody. May 18th, and of course we have birthdays. Birthdays. And today, we only have one for today. Of course, we had a few that happened, you know, last week and stuff. But today, we only have one, and it's and he's no longer with us even. Superfly Jimmy Snuka. And it's amazing that Tamina is on a run right now.
Yeah.
I'm just questioning how long this run's going to last. I mean, they're talking about her on Raw and on the pay-per-view and shit.
Yeah.
Man, they're talking to her like she's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Dude, they're saying how great she is, and I'm like, what the fuck? Come on.
It's going to last until Alexa Bliss and her fucking puppet is going to take the tag titles. That's what's going to last.
She's going to win it with the puppet?
She's going to win it with somebody dressed as her puppet. I'm going to put money that it's going to be Nikki Cross and win the tag belts.
Or maybe it's going to be my cousin who's coming back to WWE. Maybe she's
If they do that to her, that's distasteful. That's horrible if they do that to her. If that's how she's going to come back, that's horrible.
I mean, there's word that she's coming back, so we'll have to see how that goes down and how that plays out. But also,
so who was the birthday girl? I missed the birthday girl.
There is no birthday girl. It was Superfly Jimmy Snuka. It would have been his birthday.
Oh, Snuka's birthday. I got you.
Tomorrow, Andre the Giant would have been his birthday. So I'm drinking a beer to that. Actually, some Modelo Chelada. I'm really hooked on this shit right now. And by the way,
I discovered
my new favorite beer.
How about you drink 70 of them for Andre? In memory of Andre, drink 70 of them.
I'll tell you what, man. I can sure as hell fucking try. I don't know that I can get to it. I don't know that I can get to it, but I can sure as fucking hell try.
But then you're going to go tip over a little European car. How about that?
Yeah,
there you go. I don't know about all that. I'll trip over a fucking stage or a guitar chord on a stage. I can tell you that. I'm pretty fucking good at that, I'll tell you that. Hey, but guys, speaking of my cousin, her husband, his birthday, it's going to be tomorrow, actually. Aleister Black, 1985. Kip Sabian, also tomorrow. And the Road Dog, Jesse James, May 20th. So, yeah, happy birthday to all these people. Guys, so let's see here. Today in history. Oh, yeah, man, this is one of my favorite. One of my favorite moments, guys, happened 6 years ago. Anybody? 6 years ago, WWE.
Six years ago. How long ago was
that? Oh,
my God.
KO comes out, challenges fucking John Cena.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was some good shit. Those were the days when I was like, oh, man, they're really going to do something special with Kevin Owens. And now he's like, oh, shit, man.
Remember the fucking ugly NXT title back then? Ugly it was.
It had the word NXT, and that was all it was. Holy shit! I wonder who
that was. A prestigious title at the time.
It was. Think about the people that have held that thing, that monstrosity of a title. It looks like that
Biggie
money
Langston.
Title that DiBiase used to carry, but only a little bit more fucked up.
Look, have you seen DiBiase on NXT, bro?
No, I haven't.
He's been doing segments. Ted DiBiase's been doing segments with NXT.
The old man DiBiase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're pretty good. What's the guy's name, dude? He was Trevor something, right?
Cameron Grimes.
You should YouTube those, though. YouTube the last few Million Dollar Man segments or whatever.
They need to bring in all these guys. I was reading about some other guys that work back there. You know, they need to keep doing that, man. The stench has to fucking rub off on these young cats.
But you know what? That's what I'm just thinking, too. It's like it seems as though AEW is, like, way ahead of the game. And if this is WWE trying to test the waters of bringing in some legends to mentor some of the younger guys, then I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. They really do, man. I mean, they need to fucking get in there and have that stench rub off on them. You know what I'm talking about, Christian?
Well, that's not the storyline that's happening with Cameron Grimes.
No,
the storyline is
they're
trying to be, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It's like he's
so
not wrestling him, but the Cameron Grimes kid keeps going and trying to buy stuff, and Ted DiBiase beats him to the punch and, like, balls way harder than he is, and he's like, ah! Like, he's like an old man laughing in his face.
It's only a matter of time before Cameron buys the fucking million-dollar championship and becomes the million-dollar champion.
Right. Hmm. This is cool. I'm cool with that.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Before I close this shit out, on the birthday, there was one we forgot to celebrate. Wait a minute. What is this shit? Oh, yeah. Just a couple of days ago, there's a fucking, the whole train.
Come get on the
train. Oh, shit. May 16th.
Careful.
The Godfather.
It ain't easy.
He came by, picked me up, stretch limo and all. It was one of those from the fucking 90s. It was an old Lincoln from the 90s missing a fucking back headlight, back lamp and shit. But,
how perfect
yeah.
is it to just add an O to his name and call him the Good Father? Like, they took him from being a pimp to being, like, a good father. That's great.
Yeah, I like that.
They took him from being a pimp to a simp.
Yeah.
I like that. From pimp to simp. Nice. Christian, who has promised us a Booking 101 segment later tonight. So we're anxious about that. But happy birthday to Godfather. But yeah, KO 6 years ago, guys. Busted in, took out John Cena, and the video went viral all over the world. His son. You guys remember that video?
My
yeah.
dad's on TV, and
what a freaking moment for him, for that little boy. I hope he grows up to be a badass. I hope he grows up to be a badass, not a fat ass.
I was kidding, because Kevin Owens kind of a fat guy, but he's fat. No, I've always been a Kevin Owens guy. This is the first piece of merch I ever bought that wasn't a T-shirt. I bought these Kevin Owens basketball shorts whenever he came out. And I still
wow.
wear them today. I
nice.
Love those shorts.
And that was 6 years ago, by the way. Those shorts are still going strong, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
I take care of my basketball shorts.
Yeah, it's interesting the quality of material, though, from 6 years ago to the quality of material today that they're using. But that's a whole other story for probably
another show. With the wrestlers
or
with the basketball shorts?
With anything. With everything in general, like the quality of T-shirts 6 years ago was much better than it is today. And it's just, I don't know, it's crazy. You can almost see through the fucking clothing now.
Well, here's a word of advice. If the WWE people are listening, they didn't put any freaking pockets on those basketball shorts, so that's my main gripe.
Oh, because the bitches are listening, in case you didn't notice, fucking Strowman cut his hair. I was talking about his fucking hair the other day, a couple of weeks ago, talking about how he was looking like fucking Festus and shit. The next week, the motherfucker had his fucking head cut, shaved off.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Oh, they're listening.
Yeah.
Coincidental?
I just think Braun Strowman's a bum.
Stop it. Stop it.
We'll get
He's not a bum. He's not a bum, man. He's just at the wrong place at the wrong time. He's doing his job. He's just doing his job right now, guy. And so let's see here. Stop it. Not everybody has to wrestle. Not everybody has to be but we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there. Guys, moving along. Let's see here. Do we have anything else for this day in history? Anybody? Anything?
I have one about tomorrow's date, May 19th.
May 19th?
Oh.
Christian,
nice.
Fill us in. Let's see.
The whole Kane storyline, May 19th.
Yeah. I just listened to a thing about this. I listened to another show talking about May 19th. It was kind of a flop. Yeah, they said that the match was a stinker. They said that they built it up for this match between Big Show and Kane, and that the match stunk the place up. But it was supposed to be the release date of Kane's movie, the See No Evil movie. It was supposed to sync up with it, and then they got the date wrong too. Like the movie ended up coming out on a different day or something.
You saw the match? Or you want me to fill you in on what happened, why they called it?
Yeah, what happens in the match? I just want to talk about it.
So what happens is it's a regular match. It's like every Kane and Big Show match. It's just a regular match until the lights go red and Kane starts to hear his own voice in the audience in the fucking arena saying May 19th, May 19th. The Titantron has his old mask floating in CGI. It's fucking stupid. And then Big Show's crying in the ring for Kane, and the match is finally stopped during the whole match. Then Big Show goes out of the fucking ring, grabs a steel chair, and then whacks Kane in the head, and Big Show loses in a DQ, and that's how the match happened. That's why it sucked.
Oh, shit. Everything sucked. I was probably marking out the whole time, but for Christian, it sucked, but I digress. But anyway, man, that's a great one, Christian. Thank you for filling in on that. It's always great.
Ladies and gentlemen, name that tune.
All right, welcome to Name That Tune. Well, we've got Christian on tap, so let's get the Name That Tune, the World Generation Podcast Network generator to move that shit. Let's go. Move it along. Here it is. Christian.
I can barely hear it. I'm going to barely not hear it.
It sounded like...
Christian from Philly. Can you give me
a hint?
WWE?
Uh-huh.
Early 2000s.
Jesus Christ. That's crap. That theme song is crap.
You really been stumping Christian as of late, Minister. You've been doing a pretty good job there.
Thank you.
Well,
you got to keep me up. Something. I got to tell you, I got a sinister's fucking confessional right now. I mean, I got to tell you, man, I fucking lose sleep over this shit, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I lose fucking sleep over this shit, man.
I bet you do.
There we go.
He's Googling it.
I'm not Googling it.
How do you Google it?
Any chance that you're going to get this, or shall we? Can anybody even steal?
You better go ahead and steal it, because that's crap. I don't know who the fuck that's
I don't even know if anybody can steal. Can anybody steal that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if I can steal. I'm trying to think of people that weren't there for very long.
I get it. If you don't think you can steal it, you better not, because I'll take away a half a point.
Oh, man. I don't want to say anything, but I want to say something, but I don't want to say it. But it sounds the music sounds too cocky to be his. Is it?
Is it who?
Somebody from Tough Enough?
No, it's not nobody from Tough Enough. I don't know. Maybe. I don't. All right.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
No one knows. No one knows. So, all right. Everybody got stumped on that one. It was Sean Stasiak. It was Sean Stasiak.
Man, I knew it was somebody like that.
Sean Stasiak.
Sean fucking Stasiak. A fucking nobody.
It was like, I knew it was somebody that wasn't there for a long time, and it sounded like a WCW song too.
I was about to say Columbo.
Fucking hell, that's terrible.
All right, so moving on, let's go to Kevye West.
All right,
see if Kevye West can pick up a vibe here. So let's get the meme generator to go through, and here we go. Kevye West, meme generator. All right, here it is.
I feel like I used to use this song in the games. Like, I remember this one, I feel like.
Good.
I feel like I'm going to guess wrong. I really want to say one person's name, but is it like Attitude Era, like 2000s, like WWE?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Man. Do you guys know what it is?
I have an idea.
I have an idea, too.
Oh!
It's like a wild card, the name that I want to say, but I don't know.
I will give you a hint,
okay,
because there is a hint available. Female.
Oh,
female car. Damn, somebody's got it over there.
Bro, is it Lita?
Is it Lita? Wait a minute. Is it Lita? Albert!
I was thinking Essay Rios when I was thinking dudes. I was thinking that Essay had whenever she was with him, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's where my mind
was. She wasn't Essay Rios, and that was more of a Latin flair to it. You know what I mean? That song.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how I
was. They were both badass. Anyway.
It was cool. Can you play for me one more time, Minister? And I'm going to give myself a educated guess here, okay?
All right, here we go.
Quickly discarded, right? Like, maybe they got a new theme song after that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that it was one of the WCW girls that was coming over, probably, right? Am I getting warm there, Minister?
I really have no idea. I wish I could stir you and lead you on and shit, but I mean, I have no clue, bro.
I think it was on. I think it was on like the No Mercy in WrestleMania 2000, dude. I remember it being on one of those games for sure.
I have a name and I have a company.
I'm gonna say it was. I know for a fact I've seen this person. I know I've seen this theme song used on television or on YouTube or whatever before, and I'm trying to put the thought to it. And I know she's blonde. I know she's blonde.
Man, I used to be so in love with her.
Stacey Keibler?
Is it? Stacey Keibler, could it be Stacey Keibler?
Damn it. Solid guess.
Can anybody steal Kevier? Can you steal?
No, I already got it wrong. It's to Christian.
Oh, yeah. Christian, time to catch up.
Is this the fucking cat?
The cat?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Is it?
I forgot about her.
The cat.
She probably had, like, a cat.
No! Who the fuck is
it? He swerved it. I thought he got it right. That was fucked up.
It's fucking Terry Runnels. Terry Runnels, man. That was Goldust chick.
I knew.
Yeah, but...
I knew
she was Terry for a minute. When she was like in
Perry Saturn came out. Perry Saturn came out to this music. Too.
There you go.
Was it
know
Perry
what?
Saturn? Like, what? I feel like I know it
Perry
from somewhere else too. I don't know. Maybe it's just a banger, and we all think we heard it before.
That sounded like WCW. That sounded like WCW.
I remember watching this on television, and I remember this person like bouncing around. But I just couldn't put a face to what I was thinking of. You know what I mean? It was so weird.
Yeah.
But now I'm
thinking
of it. Yeah. Mark/Terry Reynolds. That was her song. Yeah, you're right.
Terry Reynolds. What a fucking.
And so let's see.
Christian
who gets
is still
points?
Winning.
Who has
Christian
points?
Gets the point. Because you psyched us out. Give Christian a point.
Stop it. That did not psych nobody out.
I'm just kidding.
Nobody gets a point. Wow. So
we're all tied.
Wow. Somebody's got to beat you, Christian. Somebody's got to take that fucking title. You guys, I need somebody to step up. I need that title.
Yeah.
I need that title. On Team Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Screw job. He's trying to screw
all right,
me. This company's trying to screw me.
All right, Christian. Only because we love you, bro. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. All right, moving on, guys. Shit, I'll tell you what, man. It's time to, because there's some strange things going on in AEW. Is there not? Do we not have, like, all kinds of comings and goings and fucking injuries and all kinds of crazy shit? So I think it's time for...
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
Yes. Yes, this is AEW Weekly with yours truly. There was a lot of incidents in recent episode of AEW last week. Let's talk about the first one where Orange Cassidy got knocked the fuck out. In a spot against Pac for the number one contendership for the AEW World Championship. Out towards the end of the match, where Pac hit Orange Cassidy with a powerbomb, and he hit him so hard, it literally knocked Orange Cassidy the fuck out. The ref
Damn.
Had this. The ref he couldn't. He didn't kick out. Pac let it go on
what
purpose.
What the fuck
was that? Kick out. And they had to call an audible, and that's why Don Callis and Kenny Omega came out.
What
they had to call an audible. This was a loser situation. So that's why they had to make it a triple threat match for the pay-per-view.
Do we know
Orange Cassidy?
Do we know if it was like, you know, just something that, you know, because, you know, shit happens?
It was a pop-up
shit happens.
You know, or,
I don't
or
know.
You know, was it a shoot? Ah, come
no,
on,
it
right?
No, it wasn't a shoot.
Yeah,
I don't know
shit
who I think Orange Cassidy, yeah, I don't know if Orange Cassidy took it wrong or Pac doesn't know how to do a power bomb, but in all honesty, Orange Cassidy got knocked the fuck out. He was not moving. He was laying on his face, laying face first. He was completely done.
Yeah. What else you got for
him? Little Tweety Birds.
I'm sure he did, bro.
Yep. We have a new AEW TNT champion in Miro, a.k.a. Rusev, as he defeated Darby Allin in a brutal fucking fight where Darby Allin got absolutely fucking destroyed. Sting got hurt in his leg because Scorpio Sky and the other guy, Ethan Page, are fighting and feuding with him. Apparently, this is going to set up a tag team match between Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky versus Sting and Darby Allin, which could be good. But the real story is now that Miro's the TNT champion, I bet you the first person that's going to face him for this title is Kip Sabian, because they've been teasing a feud between those two where Miro is an abuser for Kip Sabian. Kip Sabian is basically Miro's bitch in a relationship. And, yeah, get ready for that feud.
I have no idea. Kip Sabian in AEW right now. That's cool.
I didn't know that either.
I mean, he destroyed Darby Allin, so there you go. And another incident that happened in AEW recently is the Inner Circle will face the Pinnacle, another match, and a Stadium Stampede match. Those of you who don't remember a Stadium Stampede match, it's basically where both teams, both sets of five people, fight in an open football stadium in a false count anywhere type of match. They can go anywhere in the arena, in a bar, in a mall, anywhere in the stadium building, only winning by pinfall or submission. The last time this happened, it was Inner Circle versus the Elite. The Elite beat the Inner Circle. Now, there's another reason why this is important, because if the Inner Circle loses, they have to disband. That's right. It's all or nothing. If the Inner Circle win, they just win. If Inner Circle loses, they have to disband forever. Which I'm telling you right now, they're going to lose. I'm telling you right now, Inner Circle is going to fucking lose because Jericho has a legit injury that happened when he fell on the steel cage at the War Games. That's a legit injury. And whose phone is ringing?
That was my phone.
All right. So,
that was the bat phone.
No. Yeah. So, Chris Jericho has a legit arm injury because of that stunt he pulled where he fell off a cage. That's a legit injury. And for those people who complained about the fucking spot that happened in War Games, that even WWE said, well, that's going to set the business back to 30 years. What about what you did in the fucking pay-per-view this past Sunday in a certain lumberjack match? Does that not set the company back 30 years? Think about that.
Wait a minute.
Think about that, idiot.
Repeat that?
Remember, WWE said that the whole spot in War Games where Jericho was pushed off the cage in a fake
pad.
They said it was set 30 years of wrestling. Yeah, they pulled the shit stunt that we're going to discuss in the lumberjack match. That doesn't put the wrestling business out 30 years?
I don't know, but man. Yeah. Oh, God.
Bullshit. Hypocrite. Anyway, another thing that I have to discuss about AEW, it's going to be a very controversial one right now. I don't know if there's Kenny Omega fans. I don't know if there's Kenny Omega fans listening in. I don't even know if there's Kenny Omega fans in the panel right now.
I like Kenny.
All right, but I know you like Kenny, but I have to say this right now. He's not a good world champion. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just don't see this guy as world champion. I'm sorry. He looks like a geek. His facial expressions are bad.
Yeah. No, I like Kenny, but like I don't pay attention to his championship. Like I don't really care about this reign. Like I just like he's a wrestler that I've always
Why? What about him?
And he has a championship.
Because
yeah.
He looks like a janitor or what the fuck? What about?
No, he does these facial expressions and he's over the top. Like he overacts. It's ridiculous. I can't take this guy seriously as a world champion.
Like, wow.
What about when he's beat triggering people, though? What about when he's in there, like, putting knees in people's faces and stuff?
Well, that's good. His wrestling, I'm not complaining about his wrestling matches. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
I mean, he's a
top-tier
level wrestler.
Yeah,
so
I'm not complaining
be
that
able
he's
to
not
act
a
top... like, you should be able to act like whatever kind of goofy fucker you want to, as long as you can back it up, right? I would think.
Yeah, but
maybe.
You should be the world champion.
I wonder what Kenny's response is, like, if he's, like, a more favored champion than, like, what Jericho was, or, you know, I wonder if, are the numbers up with Kenny as champion, or is he helping Impact and everybody with the numbers?
Fuck no. Fuck no.
I saw that he's going to face Andrade. I forget when they announced the date, but it's going to be a televised match.
He's facing Moose for the title.
Huh. Yeah, he's gonna face Andrade for like a championship in Mexico, I think.
Yeah, so he's facing Moose for the EA Impact Champion. And let me remind you, both wrestlers are heels. So who in realistic are you people supposed to cheer for? Realistically, like Moose
no.
is a heel, Kenny's a heel. Who are you supposed to cheer for in that case?
The guy with less titles.
Yeah, but nobody's going to find it believable for Kenny Omega to beat a giant of a man like Ken.
The underdog.
Ah,
got to go for the underdog.
And this brings up another point why I don't like his world title reign. This whole AEW Impact crossover. They're the only fuckers who have crossed over for this fucking shows. They're the only ones. When
right.
is the other AEW wrestlers going to cross over? Why is it only Kenny Omega... and the fucking Good Brothers, why is it only them? Like, why? Why can't the Young Bucks come to Impact? Why can't fucking John Moxley come to Impact? Why can't fucking Ethan Page come back to Impact for a temporary to see his partner or some shit? What the fuck? Why is it only these group of fucking idiots?
I can't answer that, but we have to move on.
Yeah.
What else?
So that was the AEW report.
No, that was good.
Oh,
I need to
it?
Watch it more. I was really happy with WWE this week, so it makes me think that AEW. I need to really like sit down and digest some full episodes of it because I really just read the results and I need to watch the show.
Well, you said you were happy with WWE this week.
Yeah, and we're about to get into it. I was happy with everything that happened pretty much.
Nice. I can't wait to talk about
fiasco.
It. I can't wait to talk about it, but hey. Isn't there some kind of shit going on with, like, I read this week that the vice presidents of AEW aren't getting along and shit?
Well,
what the fuck do we know about that? What do you mean?
Who gives a fuck?
That's everything.
Yeah, but WCW had vice presidents who didn't get along anyway, so it's not really...
Maybe that's why Kenny Omega's over there on his own pushing fucking Impact and shit, because he doesn't want to be a part of what these other fucks are doing over on AEW.
It goes back to like the whole thing. Like, I'm hoping that there's going to be a buyout of Impact. You know what I mean? Like, it's just to me, it's only a matter of time.
They literally had a pay per view called Under Siege, which means invasion, and they didn't even bother to bring AEW wrestlers to face any TNA wrestlers. So I think you're right. Under Siege. Well, fuck it. What the fuck's Under Siege? It's just fucking Kenny Omega's fucking group. There's no Under Siege.
So,
it's a Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Another Steven Seagal movie. I love him. Gotta love Steven Seagal, man. The cheese, man.
Yeah.
It's all about the cheese. But shit, man. It's a good time to take a break, guys. We're going to come back, chop it up some more. About, we have shit, we still have to discuss the pay-per-view and shit. So
yeah,
let's get out of here.
And I have the predictions paper, by the way.
Yeah. So let's get the fuck out of here, and we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4.
Hello, creatures of the night. This is Christian from Philly, and you're listening to Fatal 4A Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Get with it, bitches.
Buddy, where's the spatula?
Okay, kids, let's go.
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hello, this is Cy Greenbloom, president of Spatula City. I like their spatula so much, I bought the company.
Spatula City, 7 locations. We're in the yellow pages under spatulas.
My, where did you get that lovely spatula?
And that's all. People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping little whale, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go, don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy, so future generations can enjoy too.
Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio. Minister of Sinister here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Guys, welcome back. What's going on? Let's see here. Shit, I think it's time. We better go ahead and... Yeah? Anybody?
No, I'm just hyped.
Yeah, you're psyched, huh? You ready for the WWE?
Well, I just watched the pay-per-view. Right before the show, I just watched the pay-per-view. So I'm on the heels of my... I was marking out.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly, with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
So what are we starting? We're starting with SmackDown and then Raw.
Man, just, you know, keep an eye on the time.
I'm going to go real quick for SmackDown. We start SmackDown with the usual Roman Reigns promo. And then, you know, Jimmy comes out, Jay comes out. Jimmy says he's not nobody's bitch. And then, you know, Roman Reigns says, you know, you could have my role tonight, huh? You fulfill my shoes, huh, bitch? You fulfill my shoes. Go ahead, call Cesaro. Call Cesaro. Have a match with him. And so Jimmy does. And then we have the main event of SmackDown. It's Jimmy versus Cesaro. What can you really expect, really? Jimmy fights the same way as Jay, so you're not going to get much of a difference when it comes to matches. But then Roman Reigns causes a DQ, and he kind of buries his own cousin's matches and his other cousin by screaming out loud, nobody cares about these matches. So basically, Roman just buried his cousins And the fact that they're 1-on-1 singles matches, so basically he just buried his own family again. And so that's how the Go Home Show SmackDown happened. Any thoughts on Roman Reigns basically burying his own cousin's credibility?
Yes. Don't get worked, dude. Like, this is the story they're telling. Like, for real. That's this is the story. Like, I mean, that's what it is. They're going to turn on it.
I'm not getting worked. I'm just bored of it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think I'm the opposite. I was bored of it for a while, and now I think, especially with Jimmy coming back, like, this is pretty lit, and I think that all the stuff that happened really between with Jimmy coming back, all the promos I've seen him a part of, and the whole I ain't nobody's bitch, hey, why are you acting like Roman's bitch thing, it's pretty cool. And I liked the story whenever he was involved before, whenever it's like the dynamic.
So how long before he falls in line?
They're gonna leave him. Like, Jay's gonna go back to him, or they're gonna feud, and it's gonna be like an even bigger squash match than it was before. Or Jimmy's gonna beat Jay. I mean, that's what's gonna happen. I mean, they're both the Usos are super talented. I was thinking this about all the talent I watched. Not to go off on a tangent, but they're all main event level. Like, they could all be booked in a way to where they could be badasses. Jimmy and Jay Uso, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods. Like, a lot of people on the roster can really be booked differently.
I think they're showing that with that story. But wait a minute.
Go ahead, Minister. Sorry.
No, you go ahead, bud. You go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to make a real quick comment. I just think it's a way – I'm not really digging it either, but I think it's just a way to get Roman Reigns more heat, and I really don't understand it either because he's got plenty of fucking heat. But that's just my opinion. It's just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a way to fucking – feed people Roman Reigns, and it's clearly a way to feed people Bobby Lashley. I mean, you look at Kofi Kingston, for example. What the fuck is he doing back in there again with Lashley? It's not like they're going to fucking shoot him up to the top of the fucking main picture.
No,
I mean, it's not going to happen. If anything, it's just to get another win to fucking Lashley and shit like that, and maybe even another pay-per-view out of it. You know, and the same thing can be said for these Usos and shit, you know? And the whole thing is to drag
Cesaro,
it out.
A lot of these guys, yeah.
Yeah, that Cesaro, holy shit. What a fucking match that was, man. What a fucking match that was.
We'll get to that when we get to that, but I'll tell you what's going to happen with Jimmy. He's going to face Roman like his brother did in Hell in a Cell, and he's going to lose against Roman at Hell in a Cell again.
But answer me this. What's the fucking point of Kofi Kingston? Fucking
filler.
You know, I mean, what's the purpose of it?
It's for the fans of those wrestlers, man. That's what I mean. It's like if you – I was telling my wife this because we used to like the Usos when they were fucking doing just the regular Usos gimmick, and then when they became like the bad guy, the heel Usos, where they had the penitentiary and stuff, we were still fans. So, like, this storyline, just for us, like, if you're a fan of that particular wrestler, it's kind of badass to see him put in, like, a main role like this or whatever. And I think that Jimmy and Jey Uso are both doing a really good job at the time they're getting on TV. And I think Kofi does a fucking great job every time he's on TV, too. I think that those two matches were badass. But I think all the matches I saw from the show and Brawl were badass matches, except for, like, a couple of the women's matches. I'm looking at you, Nia and Shayna. Go ahead, Christian. Sorry, buddy.
Kofi is filler. That's what it's just filler. It's just he's just there to make him sympathetic to give Bobby heat. So we're gonna have Drew versus Bobby again at Hell in a Cell, which nobody gives a fuck about. That's what's happening.
And so, okay, what else?
All right, so Monday Night Raw happens. You know, MVP and Bobby Lashley kick off the show with ladies, saying that they were going to do an open challenge, and then Drew McIntyre comes out, fucking throws his hat again, and I groaned.
Hold up a minute. I got to say, the whole thing with the freaking ladies, man, I got to give, you know, is he paying homage to, you know, horsemen and shit like that? I mean, that's kind of, I thought it was kind of
like
cool.
It.
The heel, it's
no,
like,
I like
heel
it.
Type shit, you know?
I liked it. I just don't like Drew McIntyre. Like, I just don't like this feud between him and Drew McIntyre. I'm sick of it. This has been going on since Elimination Chamber. and it's still continuing in fucking June.
All right, well, the ladies were a nice addition to it, so, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so then it's the women's match. It's a women's match. I'm not going to go all the Raw because most of them are fucking repeat matches and matches nobody cares about, like AJ Styles versus Elias, all that. So we go to another repeat match between Asuka and Charlotte. I'm telling you this right now, and it's not offense to the women's wrestling, but I don't care if they could have a 5-star match. I'm sick of seeing these two wrestle each other on Raw. I'm sick of it. Like, I'm sick of it. Like, it's bullshit. They literally repeated the same spots that they did 2 weeks ago where Rhea Ripley comes out, distracts Charlotte, and Asuka wins with a roll-up. That's literally shot for shot the same shit they did 2 weeks ago on Raw. No lie. Horrible. So Charlotte lost to Asuka. What?
No, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, I get where you're coming from there. I don't think the triple threat was horrible. Like, I don't think the actual match was bad, but the build could have been better. It didn't make any sense, the whole Charlotte fiasco building up to it. A lot of stuff with it.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So the women's tag division is going to be in shambles more because it looks like Alexa Bliss is going to be fighting for those tag titles with Lily, the doll. She's going to face Natalya and Tamina. That's what's going to happen.
So
she already said it.
This segment was actually pretty badass. This segment was cool because it showed Tamina in a cool way, and Tamina was, like, really, like, actually acting super good. And she, like, bucked up to Alexa, and Alexa, like, said, that's not very nice or whatever. Like, it's... If the dynamic isn't that Alexa's going for the belts and rather that Alexa is just interviewing people backstage in this playground area for a while, that would be cool. Like, I'm totally cool with Alexa not wrestling and just interviewing people with weird interviews like that because I thought that was a cool segment.
She made it clear she's going for the tag belts. She said,
I'll be watching
you, ladies.
She's
going after the tag belts with the stupid doll.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. We'll see some new shit. They'll take it to fucking new heights of ridiculousness.
That was a cool segment, though.
I mean, it'll play well with the fucking zombie shit.
Yeah, that was atrocity. We'll get to that when we get to that. RK Bro, the only interesting thing on Raw, are awesome. They're fucking great. The New Day, it's Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton, a match we've seen already. It was a good match, but, you know, again, we've
it's
seen this match years.
The thing about this match was that the
it's
end
always,
showed.
They always, those are like two dream opponents. Those guys wrestle each other really well, and they rarely wrestle.
It showed,
saying,
you know,
sometimes
they were
I
telling
like
the story of Orton having to restrain himself.
Yeah.
From attacking even his own partner.
Yeah, it's looking like Matt Riddle's turning. It looks like Matt Riddle's finally turning heel, because Randy Orton is affecting him. He's corrupting him, which I'm glad. He's corrupting Matt Riddle. Finally, Matt
Albert,
Riddle's
Albert, are
something.
You glad that Matt Riddle is getting corrupted? By the way, I just saw the Matt Riddle thing. That apparently was released in 2019 or some shit a few years ago when he first showed up on WWE. I just saw the thing the other day on the cock. But go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah?
Wait,
you saw what?
Is that what we're calling it? Is that what we're
the
calling
thing
it,
on, the thing on Matt Riddle. You know, they have they had like an hour deal on Matt
Riddle.
They had
like a WWE 24 on him, yeah.
Yeah, and it was on the cock. And, I'm starting to watch the cock and shit more.
Oh, no.
They already had
I'm sure you are.
Fucking special for Matt Riddle? What the fuck?
No, yeah. I was like, oh, it's perfect timing. You know, it goes great with his push. And, it just popped up on my screen.
So if you want to find that documentary online, you just Google Matt Riddle cock, right?
I would imagine so. I mean, you know, I didn't have to do that. It just actually popped up on my fucking screen.
watch Kevin.
So I watched the, you know, where it showed him, you know, when he first got the job and shit with WWE and all. It was all right. It was entertaining.
Bro.
I learned a little bit about him. I had no idea he had a family and shit, so that's pretty cool.
Bro. What happens if Matt Riddle and Vince Russo get together in the same room? You think it's going to be like just a bro explosion?
Yes. His name is actually Matt fucking Riddle. And so it's no wonder that WWE is bastardizing him by just calling him Riddle.
Yeah. It's funny. No, like Zack Ryder's going to come back
Matt
today. We're going to get a grizzled Zack Ryder return, and they're going to feud, and it's going to be for like the Intercontinental Championship or something. It's going to be awesome. Woo, woo, woo.
Will they be able to use his pool again? Will they have pool privilege?
Yes. Yeah, they'll have a pool match, actually. It'll be at, they'll be like, Zach, we need to do a match at your house. You're in it.
He'll finally agree to the pool.
You'll be the special guest ref.
Oh, shit. Chris,
a pool on a pool match. A pool on a pool match.
A pool on a pool match. But that was some shit, right? I remember when that happened. What was that? That was like, that was fucking weird. You know, when I heard about that with them wanting to use Zack Ryder's pool, like, what the fuck, man?
That's some crazy shit, man.
Fucking carnies. They're fucking carnies, y'all.
Yeah, they're clowns. They're all ass clowns.
That's the fucking, they were trying to strong arm him for his fucking pool, calling his chick and shit.
Yeah, everyone. Who the fuck is like,
and why can't they just go rent a fucking a floor at a fucking hotel that has a fucking pool? I mean, what the fuck? But, Chris, so where were we? What the fuck is going on here?
We're in the main event right now on Raw. But before we get to that, everybody was doing backstage segments saying that they were going to challenge Bobby Lashley. None of these people showed up. The fucking Mason T-Bar said they were going to challenge the world champion. They didn't show up. Shawn Benjamin himself said they were going to challenge
the
champion.
So here you got fucking, so who shows up? Fucking none other than Kofi fucking Kingston. Two spots during the show. The show was Kofi heavy.
Yeah.
What's the explanation for that?
Because he's badass.
I don't know. They ran it. Pretty sure they ran out of superstars.
Why not just give us cool matches? This is something that, like, it's like y'all complain, like, and I see how you can complain and look at it like we've seen his matches before, something like this. Why are they doing it if it's not going to make sense? But it is cool because the quality of the matches, I think, were all high, and they're like, it was like a shakeup. Like, I felt like everything, I was expecting Backlash to be like all rematches or whatever. And it all seemed new to me, like watching that, watching what was happening on Raw. And maybe it's just because I did, like, step away for a couple of weeks and just read instead of watching the show. That maybe that's what
seemed
new. But no, like, you know, I think that the quality of the matches makes a difference. If they do different shit that doesn't really forward a story or make sense, like, it's probably okay as long as it's good wrestling. Like, that's
– I have to
maybe
agree
we should
with
accept,
you.
Like
– I have to agree with you, dude. I mean, what I'm saying
trying
is,
something
like,
different or whatever.
Like, it didn't – I was checking out the highlights, right, as I do now, and Kofi Kingston's on there twice, and I'm like, fuck, you know, what the fuck did I just watch Kofi Kingston just recently on? I mean, was this from the same fucking day?
Yeah.
is what was my concern, you know? I was like, what the fuck? And so
I felt like there was a lot of high spots. And between Raw and the Backlash, there was like a whole lot of high spots that happened too.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about the matches.
And that could be a bad thing or a good thing.
I thought the matches were all fucking good, even the women's. I thought the
okay,
women's
well,
match fucking incredible.
I'll just bring you on that. No, all matches are good, but we'll get to that. The match happened. Kofi Kingston versus Bobby Lashley was a great match, except for the ending. Drew McIntyre comes out, hits Bobby Lashley with a stick, and then the champion loses. And we're going to get Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. Hell in a Cell. Get ready, everybody. Woo! We're going to get this match again. Hell in a Cell. Because they don't have anybody else to challenge this fucker for the title. Nobody else. Just fucking laziness, you know. We could have had Keith Lee, but nope, you sent him away. God knows.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a different guy at every pay-per-view, though, right? Like, back in the day, like, during the Attitude Era, did they not book it to where it would be, like, Shawn Michaels versus so-and-so at, like, two or three pay-per-views in a row? Steve Austin would fight the same guy at, like, two or three. They would build it. I know Triple H especially, they would build it to where you'd do, like, a cycle of different matches, and it would end with one that was, like, so usually Hell in the Cell being the one that ends a feud, you know?
Yeah, but
that was my
different.
Main gripe. That was my main gripe about all. Is why not fucking, where the fuck is Keith Lee? He's just sitting around fucking tweeting and shit on the damn Twitter and shit. Talking shit
yeah, I don't know why
Twitter.
He's on TV.
That was a great opportunity to fucking inject Keith Lee into the fucking business. And that was my gripe about it.
Yeah. But no, like, and it goes back to what I was saying, too, about being a fan of the wrestler, watching it differently than, like, so you can be mad at the whole product. But if you're a fan of, like, Drew McIntyre, I'm a fan of Drew and Bobby Lashley. And I don't really look at wrestling as, like, I'm not just a WWE fan or just, and I'm not a fan of the whole product, just more the individual wrestlers. So it's kind of cool because even if I have seen this match before, now I get to see these two guys who I really like, and there is a title involved in a Hell in a Cell match. I think that Drew's a fucking $1 million still, dude. I think that they're still on fire and still is one of the best wrestlers, like, employed right now. Like, that dude's kicking ass. And Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business or whatever, like, MVP, they're not hurting either. So
he finally
it's very cool.
Into...
I was marking out watching all this stuff. I was like, good for all these guys. This is hype. Like, but,
you're right.
I mean,
you're right. And what I wish that kind of going to, like, a broader thing, I agree with what you're saying there, Kevin. It's that, you know, I am a fan of individual wrestlers as opposed to the whole company, but you know what? I really wish that they would ease up on the fucking Hell in a Cell sometimes, man. I wish there wasn't a fucking Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I wish it was like a once-a-year thing or like maybe even like once every 2 years thing, because it would be so much more, you know, anticipated and you know, better than just having a fucking pay-per-view of just Hell in a Cell at some cheesy-ass red cage, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, another thing, too, is, like, you know, nothing's really going to top those, like, Hell in a Cell matches from the late 90s, you know? So, I mean,
yeah,
I
now when we get them, we get a really campy spot every time now.
Yeah, it's just like,
hanging
it's
off
like,
the
yeah,
edge
like,
or something.
Like, I wish I would have just done away with them, you know, and just done away with the Hell in a Cell, and then, like, once in a blue moon, like, you just have a fucking badass Hell in a Cell match, you know, with some pretty good spots, but... It's just overkill at this point, and it's been overkill when you have, like, you know, four or I don't know how many fucking Hell in a Cell matches you have every year. It's just –
We had three fucking last year. We had three Hell in a Cell matches last year.
Yeah, they've totally bastardized it. I mean, we keep talking about this shit every fucking time. It's the same fucking thing with this Hell in a Cell.
It's all in the paper. But it's like, okay, like, it would be a lot of cooler if it was, like, somebody challenging somebody at WrestleMania, and then it's just like, and you know what? We're going to do it in Hell in a Cell. It would get, like, such a huge fucking pop. The buy rate would probably go up. It would just, you know, it'd be something special to watch. And it's not that anymore.
This was fucking Undertaker's fucking match. This was his fucking match stipulation.
Right.
Besides anybody else doing this fucking shit. Awful.
So that was.
What?
I was just asking. Yeah, what happened after that on Raw?
No, that was the main event.
Yeah, thank God, man, because we got to wrap that Raw shit up. Move it on to the pay per view, my brother.
Yeah, I got the scores right here.
Uh oh.
Prediction scores. And you will be shocked about the results, but we'll go but one by one with them.
Shocked at the results. All right, well, fuck it. Let's do it.
All right.
So we started with the triple threat women's?
Yeah, we'll start with the triple threat. We'll start with the triple threat between Rhea Ripley, Charlotte, and Asuka for the women's championship. I have the points right here. Do you want me to say the points, or do you want to discuss the match first?
No, I'll just say the points, yeah.
All right. So, Chuck, you picked Rhea to retain. You get a point.
Of course, yes.
Shane picked Rhea to retain. He got a point. By the way, Shane joined us last week. Check him out.
Dude, that was great, by the way. Thank you so much, Shane.
Albert, you pick Charlotte. You don't get a point. And I pick Rhea. I get a point. So everybody got a point except for Albert. Albert, why did you thought
yeah.
Charlotte was going to win this?
I don't know. I just blindly guessed.
She
I blindly guessed on that one. That's why. And you know what? I got other points that Joe didn't get. And I'm proud of him. So carry on.
Now we're taking a heel stance here on that.
What was the next match?
Well, I thought Rhea Ripley was going to retain personally. And I was right. You guys hear that thunder? That's fucking badass. We're in the middle of some badass storms right now.
Yeah. So we have the SmackDown Tag Championship between the Dirty Dogs and the Mysterios. Chuck, you picked the Dirty Dogs. You don't get a point.
Wait, man, Shane, you forgot the fucking Sheamus match, bro, the kickoff match. That was a great fucking match, man.
We didn't put the kickoff match in the prediction.
Oh, man, it's too bad. But it was a great match, dude, between fucking Sheamus. And the replacement, Ricochet.
Yeah.
Great fucking match, but Sheamus fucking pulled it out at the end. Rightly so, too.
Yeah. So, it's the Dirty... Okay, so Shane picked the Dirty Dogs. He doesn't get a point. Albert picked the Mysterios. He got a point. And I picked the Dirty Dogs. I don't got a point. So, Albert...
You're
the only one who picked the Mysterios. You did it because they were the underdog.
You're damn right.
How could I not pick the fucking Mysterios? I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I should get a point for that.
I would have voted Mysterios, too. Just saying.
Yeah, just give me a point. I should have picked the Mysterios.
No, I don't want no points.
All right.
I think the third match was the Lumberjack match, right?
The third match was the Lumberjack match, yes.
Worst match to the fucking pay-per-view. Disgusting. Worst match. Garbage. The whole zombie shit was a disgrace. That set the wrestling business 30 years, all right? That was terrible. So, I'm going to save it right now. We all picked Damian Priest. So we're tied right now so far. We all picked Damian Priest to win, which was predictable.
I got a comment on those fucking zombies, man. I can't believe this shit with the zombies. First of all, it's a bit too much for me. And fuck, man. I mean, shit, man. This might be a blessing in disguise, like fucking Christian says for The Miz. I mean, holy shit. He's done great with everything, but goddamn, man, this is fucking enough is enough, man. Fucking zombies, really? Just to promote a fucking movie? I mean, I get that they're promoting a fucking movie, but shit, man. This is a bit much. Get the fuck out of here. Zombies. And the Alexa Bliss fucking thing... is fucking nothing better either. Using her to fucking bastardize a fucking win and shit on Raw, I guess it was. With, you know, coming out. And I mean, get the fuck out of here. She has special powers all of a sudden. They bastardized the whole fucking Undertaker thing and shit just like that. I mean, because of the fact that, you know, what I'm talking about is where is this going to fucking end? I mean, is she going to go forward with this shit the rest of her career?
I guess so. I don't know.
No, she's not. And that's what I'm talking about. It's bastardizing the whole thing.
It's crap. That's what it is. It's garbage. The gimmick is garbage. Nobody likes it. It's drawing away fucking female viewers and demographics. Nobody likes this fucking gimmick. I know some of the guys here like it, but I don't.
Hey.
It's not fucking cool.
No, I
it
told
doesn't
you
even
I was torn on it. I told you that I didn't, like a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how it didn't fit on the TV show, how it was like not good for kids and it would scare parents and people away from wanting their kid to watch the show and shit like that.
I mean, I don't
I think
mind
the Jimmy Uso's shirt, Nobody's Bitch, like if I'm being conservative about how I watch wrestling, like I think that having a shirt that says Nobody's Bitch on it is a pretty bold move by WWE too.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, it's not really, because bitch is the only word that could say anyway. That's their number one
right.
word. Oh.
I don't want to explain
all
to
right.
my 7-year-old kid why I can't buy him a Nobody's Bitch shirt.
Yeah. All right. All right. Moving on. We have the fourth match, which was a women's match, a botch fest, in my opinion. You guys say it might be a good match, but it was a botch fest towards the end with the whole fucking botched roll-up with the loose eyelashes from Bianca Belair. Terrible ending. Look, all right, look, I gave the pay-per-view a fair score. I gave it 3 out of 10 because I only liked 3 matches out of the pay-per-view, all right, on my show, which you could listen to on the weekend, because the endings at every match fucking sucked. All right? Can you not agree with that? Can you not agree? Can you agree that all the endings in the matches suck? At least. Kevin.
I mean, some of them, they were definitely predictable. Like, some of them were predictable finishes, but I think that the matches overall were pretty dope. And it, like, I don't know. I got, like, nostalgic vibes watching this show because it seemed like all the matches were, like,
agree,
a throwback.
Can you at least agree that the endings sucked?
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't say sucked. I wouldn't say they all sucked. I was happy with the endings. For the main event stuff, yeah.
I kind of just watched highlights and read the reviews, but you know what? I really don't think that they were all that bad. Just going back to the whole thing, I just wish WWE put out, you know, put a little bit more thought into their stuff.
And Christian watched the full thing. Like, if you watch the full show, if you watch the whole match, like, I think that that's the difference. Is like the stories told in the matches, like, were good. So that's why I liked the show, is because there was in-ring storytelling and the matches were long and good. And everybody was on their A-game. So, like, it made up for whatever was sucking about it. I didn't see that because I was like, damn, everybody's putting on tonight.
Yeah. You know what fucking sucks, man? I'm under fucking tornado warning right now.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'm under tornado warning.
No.
Emergency alert extreme. So
YouTube has a power outage right now, YouTube, so I don't know. Anyway,
wow.
The fourth match So the fourth match is Bianca Belair versus Bayley. Again, we're tied still because we all want Belair to win. So we're tied still. Can you believe it? We're all tied. Sean, Minister, me and Albert, we're all tied still.
Hell yeah.
So it's rigged.
Let's see. What's the next match? Oh, yeah, the WWE Championship. Surprise, surprise. We're all still tied. We all picked Lashley to win, which that finish was bullshit. He no-sold the fucking fact that he got thrown into an LED thing, and he got up like it was nothing. Like, he didn't get thrown into nothing.
Like, he rested for like 10 minutes. We don't know what he landed on. Maybe he, like, fell into, like, a bunch of pillows. That
he landed at AEW's stage.
Yeah,
maybe they had the AEW prop guys there that night or something. The same company.
All right. So now we go to the main event. By the way, the men's triple threat match was great. I liked it. We go to the main event. Minister, you get 0 points because you said no contest. You get 0 points. Sean said Roman was going to retain. He gets a point. Albert, you also get 0 points because you said no contest too. and me, I said Roman was going to retain, so I get a point.
Boo.
So far, it's me and Sean tied right now so far. The Minister and Albert are dead last.
Dang.
But we go to extra credit points. We go to extra credit. Because we did get extra credit. Here are the extra credit ones. Is there going to be a match between Jimmy and Seth Rollins? We all said no. So that's 1 point for Chuck, 1 point for Minister, 1 point for Albert, 1 point for Sean, and 1 point for me. So me and Sean are still tied. Minister and Albert are still dead last. Now this is the next one. Which match was going to open the show?
It's like an angry teacher. Like we just like fucked up royally. Me and you.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, and you were late on Tuesday the 17th. And Jim, you.
We go to the next extra credit question. Which match was going to open the show? Minister, you get zero points because you said
Whoa.
WWE title. Sean gets 0 points because he said women's title. Albert gets 1 point because he said Raw women's title, so he gets a point. And I get 0 points because I said WWE title. Now we go to the last extra critic question, and we all get a point for the Universal title. We all picked the Universal title. So let me tally up the scores right now. Hold on, I'm going to tally up the scores and see who wins. I'm going to tally it up. Discuss with yourselves. Discuss about your feelings about the pay-per-view until I'm done.
Well,
are we
going to
go
back
through each match? I mean, I was, I don't know.
Yeah.
I recommend,
I will say
that I wanted to recommend to everybody to watch this pay-per-view because I feel like for the past 2-3 weeks we've been saying, man, this is going to suck. And I really think that it was like a watchable show. And I was going to go so far as to say that it was like the best pay-per-view I've seen since COVID era. Like maybe not since, like not WrestleMania, but it's one of the best pay-per-views I've seen of the COVID era.
Well, I thought the matches were great. The storylines, I was left wondering what the fuck with a lot of it. But, you know, that's just the way it was. But the matches, I mean, we started out with the pre-show, Sheamus versus Ricochet. That was a killer match, I thought.
It was cool.
And then you saw that?
The story in that match. The story in that match at the end is like, so Ricochet gets
the
show.
Yeah, dude, that was great at the end.
And then,
the ending was fantastic.
And then Ricochet is like, gets kicked in the face, and then Sheamus is like, grabs his face, and he's holding me. He's like, you can't do anything. Like, I'm gonna win, blah, blah, blah. And, Ricochet just slaps him in the face, and then Sheamus steps back and just kicks him again in the face and pins him, and it was like the coldest shit I've seen. I was like, hell yeah. Sheamus.
And then,
of course,
it ended on Raw when they went at it again, and Sheamus once again fucking beat his ass on Raw.
It
might have
been the Raw match
that
I saw, actually. Maybe it was on Raw that I saw that match. I didn't see the pre-show match, but I saw the Raw match. Because Ricochet was wearing some gear I never seen him wear, too. He was wearing, like, these black pants. It was weird. I don't know what that is. I thought that he was
for
a second.
We had the Rhea Ripley defeating Asuka and Charlotte Flair.
Yeah. Charlotte looked like $1 million in this match. Like, Charlotte's gear was badass, and she was just, like, in great shape. She looked badass coming out. And I thought that she was going to win. And, yeah, I watched that match with friends that, like, don't watch wrestling, and they were entertained, too. And they were, like, talking about how badass they all were. But, I mean, there was 2 triple threat matches, and I don't think any of them really, like, were shitty like the last handful of triple threat matches I've watched. Like, they usually have a bunch of gimmicks where they disappear. And the gimmick in the Lashley one was that he disappeared because he fell off the stage. But it worked. Like, the guys continued to beat the dog shit out of each other the whole time. So the whole thing worked because they were being distracting. In the men's triple threat match, fucking Drew McIntyre gave the Michinoku driver to Braun Strowman. That was crazy as fuck. It made me think of, like, Hogan power slamming Andre, you know what I mean? And, like,
yeah.
So here you got Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre just got the dick beat out of him, too. Like, that's not the right expression, but he just, like, there was a senton that Braun does where he jumps and he slams down.
Oh, yeah, that was badass.
And usually with a senton, you land on your ass to kind of protect the guy so all your weight doesn't. But Braun just landed all of his weight right on Drew McIntyre. And they showed a replay of that. And that was crazy. And right after that, Drew gets up and gives him a Michinoku driver. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? So that's what I meant by there was like a lot of high spots and all the matches were like high energy. It was pretty dope.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tally up the score.
My favorite part of that, man, was, of course, the ending. Bobby Lashley coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, he just comes in and just boom, spear, it's classic. And you know what else was cool?
Boom.
The Pat McAfee and Michael Cole announce team. Those guys on the announce team were badass. Dude, go back and listen closer to what the match sounds like with them because they're just calling every spot. They're calling all the spots, and they're getting hype, and it's just a two-man team that works really good. It sounds cheesy, but I thought that was the main thing that stuck out about that, too, is that they were calling the match really good.
Nice. And I think we have the results tallied up.
All right. Coming, we have a three-way tie and somebody who's the ultimate loser. We have a three-way tie. So, the three winners who won WrestleMania Backlash are Albert, Shane, and yours truly, Christian from Philly, with 7 points.
Dang. Dang.
I guess
you're getting fired from the show now.
Damn.
Lonely.
I'm Mr. Lonely.
Minister Sinister came up with only 6 points.
Well, you know, it was a close, hard fought battle. But you know, I went with I didn't go with the obvious when I should have. And
extra points
will get
you every time.
But I said, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. And I demand that I get a point for that. If I would have got a point for that, like I was demanding, you know,
no,
I'd be there with y'all.
No.
We would be the Fortune Four.
No.
So, Cesaro, anybody? Was that badass? Or was that, like, you guys hate Roman? Like, is everybody not on the Roman thing at all?
Man, the fucking
Roman
Reigns match was fucking unbelievable, man.
I thought Roman was like grown. Just in like a couple of weeks, Roman's like grown into this more badass version of the character. Like it seems like he's caught a different stride. And the music makes more sense. Everything about Roman's character like clicks.
Of course it does.
Actually cool again.
The music absolutely makes fucking sense now. And I knew it would.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I liked it from the beginning, actually. I didn't have any problem with it. But, you know, I think the music totally fucking makes sense. You're absolutely right, Kevin.
But
I mean,
now how long is this going to last?
I think
it's going to last for going forward.
Yeah, I think it could last for the rest of the year.
People are going to get bored of this shit until WrestleMania.
They're going to get bored of it. No, I think Roman Reigns is like a superstar, dog. I think he's like going to be like a huge deal. I think he's like, I think he's going to be like a big deal. I think that when the crowd can come back, I think it'll work.
I think he's just a big
deal.
He'll be a big deal.
Big deal
by default, you know?
He'll be a big deal until The Rock just takes the title away from him, and then he's back to being a babyface that nobody likes.
I think he'll beat The Rock.
To me, Roman I like Roman. He's not my favorite, but I just don't think he has it to be the top guy. And I've thought that
no.
a long time. And again, who the hell am I to say anything? You know what I mean? I'm just an outsider looking in. But come on, I don't see the appeal of
from
Roman.
From Jack and the Beanstalk to now, this guy has grown like miles. He's like, right? He did this promo against the Big Show years ago to where he is now. I think that just in the last like month or two, just since the Daniel Bryan feud, his promo skills have gotten better, and he's found like what the character is really supposed to be. And I don't know. I think that they're gonna like grow it even more than that from here. That's just the vibe I got from like the last few episodes I watched.
Did you get that like that natural heat? Because like I said, a lot of people feel the same way about him. You know what I mean? Like that, like, you know, yeah, he's a big guy, but it just kind of feels that like it's just because he's part of the Samoan family or the that family that he's kind of just pushed to the moon or
kind of
whatever.
How Randy was when Randy was young too. Like it's kind of how he was before he was the Legend Killer. He had heat like that where he was a shithead, but then people liked him for being a shithead too. I think that Roman will have fans, and Roman still has like fans behind him and stuff. They want the Tribal Chief to be like a badass, whatever.
I'm behind the Tribal Chief all the way, man. I gotta say, I'm behind the Tribal Chief.
But no, Cesaro in that match, and then just the way they did the match and all the certain spots in the match. You got this traditional story of you're going to pick apart the guy's injury. You're gonna take apart his shoulder because that's what he does all the damage with. So Roman, like, there's a spot where he kicks his shoulder into the turnbuckle, and that's like they were like outside of the ring, and he does his running kick and kicks him into the turnbuckle. That was awesome. He picks apart his arm, and Roman, like, is talking during the match the whole time, and he's talking shit to Daniel Bryan at one point. And he's like, oh, hey, Bryan, here's your boy. Where's your boy now? And he starts twisting on his arm. And then he does it like D-Bry does. And this, like, pains me because he does the arm breaker, like where he twists their elbow up. But he does it. He's not letting go of his arm. Like, Bryan, when anybody does it, they pull it and they let go of it to give that effect. And Roman's just, like, actually pulling on his arm. So I'm like, damn, dude, like, don't hurt him.
I got to say, man, I think it's really cool that this storyline, it is unfolding before our very eyes. And people can start buying into Roman Reigns now, it seems to me. Like, I know I can.
You know who I don't buy in? Seth Rollins. Seth. I'm sick of him.
Seth Rollins going in there and picking up the pieces afterward like a fucking jackal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Has he worn a suit like that before? Was that like a brand new thing?
That was a brand new one.
So like, I don't know, it gave me Joker vibes, like whenever he came out, and not like Joker Sting, but like a cool Joker, like where he's just like a sadistic, sicko fucker that's like beating people up or whatever, and I was like, I could get behind this Seth Rollins. Like this like eccentric, dangerous Seth Rollins sounds cool. But
that was probably a one-time thing. He's just going to go back to saying how, you know, he's a greater good and all
No. He's got to keep going with this shit. And the only one that can stop him is his wife, who comes in and fucking says, no, you got to get back home, change diapers.
That's
going to
be a good story,
too. I got this because I'm the man.
The man? Dude, if they have an intergender match and she beats him up, that'd be cool.
Yeah. You go home, man. Seth. To watch the children and take your plate.
You're gonna go home and watch the dishes.
I'm the man.
You're gonna go home and take your plate.
Seth, I'm the man, and now you're the woman.
who did you talk to like this?
We're progressive. This is how our relationship dynamic works.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Son of a bitch. Who did you talk to like this?
I love you, Becky. You always bring out the best in me.
I have more
accomplishments than you. I love you too, Seth.
We're out of control.
I'm out of I cashed in on Money in the Bank, bitch. I have more suspicions.
Stop it. We're out of control.
You married me because of my success.
Oh my God.
Stop it. Christian is revealing himself.
I know Christian.
No.
All right. So we talked about Cesaro. Well, we didn't really talk about Cesaro, but Cesaro looked badass in the match, and like he's hopefully stays in the main event picture for a little while.
And what do you think, man? He went in there, took it like a champ, dude. Put fucking Roman Reigns over. I mean, what a fucking hell of a match that was, dude. It was a great match. I never thought
when you thought that they were going to wrap it up, they would get in a hold. Right when you thought they were going to wrap the match up and somebody was going to lose, they would fucking do a submission for like 5 minutes, dog. And they did that like three or four times in the match. And that would normally like bore the shit out of me. But it was interesting as fuck because Cesaro's a submission wrestler and because Roman has this guillotine and shit. And like,
what do you think
it just
about the whole thing about Roman Reigns finally doing it on his own? He told Jey Uso to stay, keep his ass back.
Go find your little brother.
Yeah, go find your little brother. I got the shit.
Little brother.
Went out there and handled his business. He went out there and handled his business, solidifying his role as the head of the table. Albert Inspector, your thoughts on that, bud? Roman Reigns. Albert, on mute.
So whenever Roman is fucking putting it on. Was he on mute?
No, I had to. I ran off to get my phone charger real quick. My phone's at 1%. I just realized.
Oh damn!
All right, Kevin, you got this. You're
fine. I was just saying, like, if you watch Paul Heyman's reactions, Paul Heyman's on the hard cam the whole time, and you can watch Paul Heyman like whenever Cesaro's putting the heat on. He doesn't ever lose his shit. Like there's a couple of points where whenever he was managing for Brock, Paul would like mark out like and like act like he was definitely about to lose. So he never does that. Like Paul's just like really focused on the match. And it got me thinking too that like really when these guys are wrestling, like Paul Heyman's the only dude out there, the cameraman and the two announcers or whatever, right? So like Paul Heyman's got front row seats to this badass match. That was just a cool thing to me too, that like I don't know. It's just a cool thing to like imagine yourself in, like shoes to imagine yourself in. Like you're standing ringside watching this match. Like it's pretty cool. Paulie and Roman fit really well, I think.
Yeah, until a certain someone returns and fucks it all up.
Albert, what were you gonna say?
Oh no, then I heard you calling on me from down the hall. I was running to get you, man. I promise.
Oh yeah, but I already forgot what I was fucking talking about.
He was just asking what you thought of Roman winning the match on his own without help.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just, it's good for him, you know, like it's, but, you know, the more, like I said, I'm not really a big Roman fan, but the more like, you know, Paul Heyman or somebody or the Usos, I'm sorry, or Uso interferes, it just becomes, you know, less believable of his
who's
stature.
Next for him? Is Big E on SmackDown? Is Big E on SmackDown?
Yeah.
He's going to be fed to Roman Reigns next. And
everybody
Roman Reigns is going to beat him clean.
Right.
Roman Reigns is going to have a deal now where he beats everyone clean. You watch.
And that's going to suck. That's going to suck.
Are we ready?
He's going to go through everyone on the roster and he's going to go through them clean.
And that's going to suck.
And with that...
Do you think that... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah? Yeah, no, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, do you think that we're anywhere near a point where WWE could start bringing in, like, AEW talent, like, where they would, if they did a hiring spree or something like that, do you think that these companies would trade and we would get, like, AEW originals in WWE at some point?
No.
You think that all the AEW rosters like Die Hard, like they're in it for a while?
I think it's gonna happen. I think you give it like 5 years down the road, the roster's gonna be completely switched up. You know, kind of like what happened with TNA. You know what I mean? Remember at that there was a point like a couple of years back where it was like everybody in WWE, both rosters, was nothing but TNA guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though, we do have to take a quick break real quick. So we'll be right back after these words. Yeah. Yeah.
Competition when the war that they mission. Not no mercy, see the rings by the street. If you don't know, you better find out the wolf pack. Here to a point, number one, just believe that you don't want to talk with them. I'll be here for them, coming to ring with them. You're never walking out again. Don't throw your back on the wolf pack.
Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Asher, Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Back, Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am Internet Radio's own resident heel, minister of sinister, if you will, and I'm here with the Swami, Christian from Philly, Rancho punk rocker, and Kevier West.
Kevier, the Calmier.
Kevier, yes. Kevier.
That's
West. Christian from Philly. Is talking about the pay-per-view and how bad it sucked, but, you know, I mean, it did, like, there were parts that left me wondering, like, what the fuck? Like, the whole zombie thing, I mean, I didn't care for that at all. I feel like that it's beneath me and shit. I mean, I can understand that they're doing promo work for a movie, but, I mean, shit, really? Do they have to force it on us? It's not even Halloween time right now.
Did they, like, hint that they were going to do zombies for the Lumberjack match, or was it revealed on the show?
It was revealed on the show.
Yeah.
They gave away a little hint with the dripper.
Morrison, like, opened the door, and they were all in.
Yeah. That's what happened.
The dripper?
Yeah. And so he came back, and he tried to warn Miz, and Miz was like, nah, you're screwed, man. Fuck you. No, you're wrong. And by the way, it seems like they're teasing a little, maybe I don't know. Maybe Miz and Morrison is going to be done. Who knows?
So it was the funniest moment of the night.
I caught
it.
It
was so funny whenever the zombies show up and Miz or Morrison says, sorry, Mike, and he just jumps over the barricade. And runs
away. Yeah, fuck it. Fuck this shit out, man.
Sorry, Mike.
Fuck this shit out, man. And so, yeah, that's how it happens.
So cheesy, dude. So cheesy. And the Batista, like, I was excited about Batista. I was like, oh,
fuck
cool,
this shit,
happened?
I'm out. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Yeah. But no, it quickly deflated when I was like, what the fuck? And then they just have Damian Priest doing all these, like, poses. Like, he's just in there to do this arrow pose and stuff. And,
oh,
and he
God.
Shot the arrow. He shot the arrow and it said Army.
Before we get to
Damian
Priest, bro, let's get to Albert. What were you trying to say, Albert?
It's like it wouldn't have been so bad if they, like, indicated that these were, like, I don't know, people or wrestlers dressed up like zombies as opposed to actual zombies, you know what I mean? Like, if it was like not like the whole, like, RoboCop 1991 thing.
Oh.
You guys remember that with Capital Combat, WCW Capital Combat, with RoboCop came out and saved Sting from the Four Horsemen. It just kind of felt like it's like, I don't know. It set the business back 30 years. That's what it did. It set the business back
shit.
Back to 1991 Capital Combat with RoboCop. That's what it set it back to.
Wow. I had no idea that WWE was saying that shit about the stage of AEW. You know, I mean, it's a fucked up thing that happened, but I mean, what do you expect when the fucking stage is actually elevated like that? I mean, there's no rule that says they have to have a steel stage like WWE. You know, their stage is an actual steel stage. It's a fucking grid up there. And
yeah.
But there's no rule that says you have to have that. I mean, you know what I mean? So their stage collapsed. It had everyone talking.
I felt like WWE was flexing on AEW too when they threw Bobby Lashley through the LED, like the explosion that happened and everything. Like, it looked cool. So I was like, damn, maybe WWE's like showing them this is how it's done because they keep fucking up these explosions and shit.
yeah. Yeah, because they have that whole
when Drew threw Lashley off of there, I was like, damn, that looked badass.
Fucking Priest.
Yeah.
Man, is this guy, to me, this guy's going to get Sandow. I mean, fuck, man. And there's no better time. Just get him out of the fucking way now, is what I'm saying. I don't think he has, he hasn't shown me that he has it. I mean, push fucking, you know, Ricochet or somebody. You know, not Damian Sandow, please. Or, I mean, Damian Priest. Wait, I don't see anything in him. Albert, am I wrong?
You know what? I think like it goes back to the whole thing, like what happens after Bad Bunny goes away. And remember we raised that question a few weeks ago. And look at what's happening now that Bad Bunny is away.
Yeah.
He's dealing with fucking zombies. And now a botched spot. I'm going to call it a botched spot. You know, he boxed that fucking spot, and he hurt the fucking Miz. And it wasn't, I mean, I'm not saying he did it on purpose. I'm saying he did it on accident. It was negligent. If his career isn't going down the shitter in the next couple of months, and I hate to say this about everybody,
no.
Then I don't know what the fuck what's going to happen. But I'm pretty sure that it's going to take some major crap that Damian Priest is going to have to do in order to survive all this bullshit that's been happening to him. And if he does, he does. And that's going to be, you know, spectacular. And we'll talk about it in a year. But if in 1 year we're hearing that Damian Priest might be All Elite or going to Impact, it definitely wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Have y'all seen, have you seen, like, the picture that's been floating around where it's the transformation he made where when he was, like, an indie wrestler, he was a chubby dude. And, he was a pretty big dude. And,
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so that's impressive in itself. And, I mean, the guy's not a bad wrestler, but he's all, like, what they're doing with him is, like, I'm trying to think of another wrestler to compare it to. Maybe, like, Fandango or Tyler Breeze or something like that, where these guys, they've done it with different wrestlers where they're just really reduced to, like, a move set, like, five moves. Elias is kind of like that. But, like, yeah, they, like, and so he's all about, like I was saying, he's all about the poses and these kicks and stuff like that. So if they just focus on that, then whenever the guy has to do a jumping, spinning kick off the turnbuckle, he's probably going to land it wrong because it's not part of his normal arsenal, you know what I mean?
The only thing they can do with Damian Priest is put him in as a freaking tag team guy going forward with Drip or some shit.
Oh, that would be a cool team up, actually. You were saying earlier, Christian, at the beginning that this could be a good thing for everybody. And I think what you might have been getting at is saying that, like, because Miz is out of the picture now, all of these guys might get a chance to shine without Miz being in the picture. Like, Morrison might be able to get a singles run going or something like this, or what are you thinking?
Where is Christian?
Did we lose him?
Oh, fuck, he's been on mute. The fuck out.
I texted you that you muted me. You had me muted.
No, I'm sorry. I was taking a piss, dude. I was taking a piss. And the fucking screen is different tonight. It's like, it's a lot larger or some shit where I can't see all the phone numbers. There we go.
You're about to get fired from your own show.
The reason why I said that it's good for the Miz is because he's been fucking awful.
I'll get that unemployment finally.
You know what? I hope he returns and he beats the shit out of John Morrison and then they can start feuding. But I don't know what's going to happen to Damian Priest, to be honest. I don't know. Who's left for him to feud with? I think he could feud with Cedric.
Are they going to put him in a tag team? What's next for him? Come on, Swami.
I don't know. The guy's generic. He's fucking boring. He's the most generic fucking NXT guy out there. Like, he has no charisma. The guy is fucking boring. He's a fucking 2x4. He's boring. The guy is terrible.
He's got great pyro. He's got great pyro. How long are they going to continue? Stop using the pyro?
I don't know. Next show.
That shit costs money.
I think he should just stop talking and just wrestle. I don't think he should just cut promos anymore. I think he needs to shut up and just fight.
I think, and we talked about this before, but I think Elias needs to start a whole band, and I think Damian Priest looks like a really sick bass player, and if you just gave him like a bass octave fuzz and a bass wah, he could probably do like a pretty sick run.
Wait. But fucking the guy from the New Day is already coming out with a bass guitar.
Oh, yeah? Kofi plays the bass?
Not Kofi. The trombone.
Well, he plays
Xavier.
The trombone, too, yeah. They can start
came out with
it. Elias
came out with
Elias
a fucking bass.
Sounds like the guy from Mighty Boss Tones. What do you think, Albert?
Talking about what's his name, Tiki Barrett or Tiki something?
Yeah. You think Elias coming out there? Like, I never had to. That'd be cool.
He kind of does. Oh God, damn it! I'll never get this out of my head now. You know what? Jesus Christ Almighty. Jesus H.W. Yeah. Christ himself.
So,
awful.
It was a great show. I'm happy with it. I do have to jump out at the normal time. I can't go into overtime. So we got about 10 minutes left, but I'm happy with the show, boys. Was there anything else that stuck out that – I don't know. I think we covered the bases. That Riddle and Randy are pretty funny. That's going to be good. I think that's going to stick around for a while, like you said.
The women's tag division is fucking awful.
Yeah, I don't like that. I did point that out. Of everything that I saw, I didn't really care for any of the women's tag match stuff. But it did redeem it with the Alexa Bliss interview. I think that Alexa Bliss character, because inevitably it's going to end with The Fiend coming back and dealing with Alexa. So it's going to pay off.
Actually, Bray Wyatt is having mental problems right now. So
yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I saw that. That's sad, if that's the case.
Yeah.
They said that he was sad. They said that Bray was sad about the loss of John Huber, so he's, like, asked for more time off.
The loss of who?
Old
Brody.
Lee.
Yeah.
Oh.
Luke Harper.
Oh, yeah, man.
So they said that he came back. What we read was that he came back for WrestleMania and did that finish so that he could be written off longer and have more time off or something like that. Which
still
cool
doesn't
to give the guy time off for mental health if that's what's going on, you know? That's pretty cool. We all remember how all the Marlon Allo situation went.
It's fine for him to take time off, but did he still have to lose at WrestleMania? Couldn't he just won and then take time off?
Yeah, I mean, he could have won that match, and the Alexa stuff could have happened, and everything would have been the same.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, everything would have – it wouldn't have changed anything if they had him win.
It's not my
bucket. It would have made him look stronger.
It's not my bucket.
Yeah.
Well, where are we at, Chris?
I remember what I was going to say is that the zombies. Whenever I saw the zombies, I started thinking, man, what if we just got a true – what if WWE went all in and we got it? And even if it was – doesn't have to be on the show. It could be a comic book. But like a true WWE versus zombies universe where you get the zombie virus infects the WWE universe and you start getting people that are like zombie versions of themselves wrestling and they have like
– dude,
I was like, yes.
I mean –
They already did that.
Well, I'm going to Bret Hart this pay-per-view.
Would they have a – they had a comic book of it or what?
No, they had a DLC and a video game for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to Bret Hart this pay-per-view, WWE WrestleMania Backlash, and I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10.
Good.
Oh,
I give it 3 out of 10.
I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 10.
Real good impression there, you prick.
Bret Hart style.
There's another thing is my new segment, Booking 101.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Booking 101, motherfuckers. This is the booking segment where I say what could have happened.
And now it's time for Booking 101 with the Philly Lily with the Chili and the Willy, Christian from Philly.
All right, you filthy fucking dogs. Listen up, because there could have been two things that would have been awesome to make this pay-per-view good. Two booking decisions that would have been great.
Oh,
one of
hell.
Them was the involvement of Jimmy Uso. Why? Because during the ending, Jimmy Uso was nowhere to be found during the ending of the pay-per-view. He didn't even show up. Only Jey Uso showed up. Jimmy Uso showed up like twice during the pay-per-view, but not towards the ending of the main event. What the fuck was up with that? Like, if I was booking it, I would have had Jimmy Uso try to help Cesaro win the title by stopping his cousin, but failing ultimately, and Roman Reigns would still retain. But at least Cesaro would have had backup in Jimmy Uso. I would have done that to make it further the feud between Jimmy and his family and, you know, making him more involved instead of him not showing up at the main event. What are your thoughts on that? Jimmy Uso trying to help Cesaro but failing.
Yeah, no, I was waiting for that to happen too. And I didn't see that. So I was more surprised with how it ended up going down with him just getting Cesaro getting his ass beat at the end. That was kind of crazy. To just have three guys beat the shit out of the dude. Jimmy definitely could have come back and done that. I think that the point was that they were hiding him because he was like turning his back on them, saying, "No, I'm not going to come get involved in your bullshit." He pretty much told me that too.
I mean, it was a missed opportunity for sure.
And obviously Jay, because Roman told Jay to go look for his brother.
Right.
So obviously, he didn't go with Jimmy either. You know, he might have went and talked to him and had a disagreement, and he was like, "No, fuck that."
Huh.
And this is the next missed opportunity. The one opportunity that should have happened, it would have been awesome. Fucking Dominic turns heel on his father. That was the perfect opportunity to turn Dominic heel.
No. They should have done it the next night, which they still might.
That's some SmackDown shit.
Because that's some SmackDown shit. So they still might do that.
No, they should have done it during the championship.
So.
Well, they have the title.
But I don't think so, though. I think they'll go on a run. I mean,
they
why delegitimize it already so soon? This is a special thing. A father and son.
No.
It's never been done before. So fuck it.
Yes,
why not take it for a while? And then, you know, eventually it's going to happen.
But you need twists. Nobody would have seen it coming. It would have been appreciated. Matt, look, there were hints of
it.
It really would have, bro.
It really would have. I'm not going to fucking deny that it would not have fucking been like, oh, man, fucking A. I would have marked out. I would have marked the fuck out.
He should have done it.
It'd be cool to see him like the Mysterios face each other at next year's WrestleMania, you know, if something like that was to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, take advantage of it. Do a build-up out of it.
SummerSlam.
Do y'all think that Dominic is a future Hall of Famer?
I do.
By default, because he's related to his dad.
No, I think he's going to fucking... This is his fucking... Man, he is just so fucking blessed, dude, to fucking be putting his time in the trenches, literally under the wing of his dad. Literally.
Yeah. Dominic's gonna like fill out more too. The kid's young. He's gonna like turn into a fucking man.
Yeah,
like
in
like 5 years.
Edge
he's gonna be
in a few years.
Yeah.
You know, and remember Edge? He started out as a skinny fucking scrawny, and then he fucking, you know, turned into a fucking man when he was 30 years old and shit. His fucking nuts finally dropped.
Yeah. No, I think the guy's got like a big future ahead of him for sure. And I think that him being his dad's son definitely gives him like a push towards Hall of Fame, but it's just weird to think of like of his accomplishments already and then what he'll probably do if he stays with the company, he's probably gonna be a Hall of Famer.
You know, he's definitely been involved for years. You know what I mean? Even before he was full time.
Yeah, since he was a kid. Yeah, he's already got all that behind him too. Yeah, he could already be inducted probably if they wanted to.
I bet you 10-1 the SmackDown tag titles are being defended this Friday.
As they should be. As they should be.
Should we turn ourselves off, boys?
That's all I have to say. I have to go right now. My phone's about to die.
Fuck it. Let's cut it off.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been me, Christian from Philly. Thank you all for listening in, and I'll see you next Tuesday for Fatal 4A Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Get with it, you bunch of bitches. Good night, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Fucking Christian. Kevier, cut yourself off, man. Holy shit.
I hear the rain you were talking about, Chuck. I'm getting them emergency alerts too, man. Y'all stay safe. Stay inside.
Thank you.
Get out on the roads. Crack your beers, and we'll be back next Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevier West. By the way, I'm drinking my favorite beer right now. My new favorite beer. Deep Ellum IPA. Deep Ellum in, of course, Dallas, Texas. So, yeah, Deep Ellum IPA. Check that out. You can pick it up at your local Specs. Albert, inspect it.
Well, we got a few seconds, so I just want to say you guys stay safe. Watch the storm. And if you're in San Antonio, if you're in the San Antonio area, on Thursday I'll be performing a short set at the open mic at Jokesters 22 Pub and Grub in Southtown, San Antonio, Texas. So should be a good time.
That's awesome, man. Good luck. I saw that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice. So, yeah, go check out Albert. And until next week, keep it real, keep it heel. And as always, keep it sexy. We'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Peace, motherfuckers.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.